No music? I got music.
You got? Go.
Yeah, hang on.
All right. Oh, we'll just wait for 20 minutes. This is how professional
we are. I got music because I saved it. Da, 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 da,
da, da, da. Watch the professional fade. Watch this. This is you wouldn't think that we had as many listeners as we do with our janky equipment, but this is GloucesterCast 351. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of us today. We're gonna Chris. Very exciting news for Chris McCarthy. He his third lobster haul, and I think he finally broke through.
Well, not my third lobster haul. It's my second lobster haul because the one in the middle was just a bait haul. Just a bait.
You took the lobsters out of the water. That's a haul.
I know, but the lobster traps didn't have bait in them.
All right, it's all semantics. We'll get to that in a second.
It's all semantics.
We have Ralph DiGiorgio with us today.
Good morning, Gloucester.
Elise Sinagra is with us today. Do we go by Sinagra?
Yes, we do.
Former high school friend and here representing North Shore Magazine.
Yes, good morning.
We'll talk about that in a sec. Brendan McCarthy is with us.
First time.
Also a first timer. We have two podcast virgins.
My deckhand today.
Deckhand, also a deckhand. We're going to talk about
his
wages in a little bit here. Chris McCarthy is with us.
Good morning, Joe, and happy birthday again.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Birthday.
I know, thank you.
Thank you.
No, every podcast. Chris just says happy birthday every podcast.
Yeah. Why did you have to ruin it?
Well, because it is quite old.
It is quite old.
It is old.
I'm only doing when the newcomers are here.
No, that's the beauty of it. That's the beauty of it. See if we get them. No, because we also get the people that say they listen all the time.
Yeah.
And then, but if they don't catch on that it's really not my birthday, we know that they're lying.
Yeah. So Elise obviously doesn't listen.
Sorry.
Well,
no.
But she never claimed to though. So that's
never
all right.
Claim, right.
That's all right.
No, well said.
Kim Smith is with us.
Good morning, Gloucester. Trying to speak up louder.
Thank you very much.
Was that better?
Thank you. What's Ralph?
It's a nice little.
I just got that.
Hello, Clarice.
Oh, my God.
Eat the butterfly.
Get the bite. It couldn't be more appropriate. Because Kim brought in a poisonous cecropia moth. She has a fleet of 30 poisonous cecropia moths.
She wants to take over
Take over the world.
Why don't you put it in front of the...
Oh, yeah. Oh, this is good. This is great.
Is it on a skewer?
This thing bites me.
Facebook Live. Go right up to the... No. Don't do it. He's gonna eat it.
Imagine if it slipped and fell in his mouth.
So for people
that would be awesome. Talk about going viral.
I know. So for people that are listening to the audio feed that get the podcast at 8 o'clock at night, we've been posting the live feeds at 9 a.m.
At 9 a.m. Yeah.
Well, roughly 9 a.m. Right onto the Good Morning Gloucester Facebook page, and you'll be able to see the video of all the antics. Chris is falling in love with the camera. He has one of the deadly.
I think
it's a male. Too.
How did you know it's a male? It's got a beena?
I think so. Oh no, that's just a leg.
Oh, it's a big leg.
Oh,
look
go.
At that thing. So Kim, tell us.
Ow!
It freaking bit me.
It did not bite him. It did not bite him. Oh my god.
I told you they're poisonous. We better. Hey. Ralph, suck the blood, suck the venom out. You gotta suck the venom out.
Someone urinate on me.
So, do you think the readers
want to
know, the listeners want to know more about it?
Sure, yeah. Yes. Tell us about the cecropia moth.
It's a cecropia moth. It's North America's largest moth with a wingspan of 6 inches. It's also commonly called a robin moth. And it's eating chokecherry leaves. And I have 32 of these. Somebody gave me 32. Eggs and caterpillars, and so.
How long did it take to go from egg stage to?
The eggs were laid last year, and then they started to hatch about a month ago, and it will turn into cocoon. So it takes about 2 months, and then it will spend the winter as a cocoon.
That's great.
Yeah, so it'll roll up in one of these leaves and pupate inside the leaves, And it will form. It will spend all winter long like that, rolled up in the leaf.
Chris pupated last night after one too many drinks at the
So Kimmy, you gonna have a bunch of moths flying around your house come the spring?
So what you want to do?
Giant moths.
You want to encourage these giant moths because they're being killed by when people spray their trees with pesticides. It kills all stages. It kills the eggs. It kills the caterpillars, and it kills the adults.
How come we don't have pesticides that effectively kill mosquitoes and stuff?
Yeah, I know. Wouldn't that be just that one bug, right?
Yeah.
Well, they have sprayed mosquito mosquito spray, and then it kills all the lobster eggs, too. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we don't want that.
So
how often do you walk the thing?
Usually he's in a big terrarium.
33 of them. Do they have like little mini, like... You should set it up like the Roman Colosseum and have them duke it out. One piece of food right in the middle and see.
Well, they do. They kind of just crawl over each other. They're sort of big and clumsy, but they're kind of...
Chris does that at mealtime.
That's true. Well, I just want to say right now, Pat Dalpiaz... And Jimmy Dalpiaz. Pat Dalpiaz is on the shit list right now.
No,
uh-oh.
Oh, no. We say we miss them very much. And we hope to see them next week.
They're dead to me right now.
Uh-oh.
I'm so disappointed in
them. No.
They got a lot of makeup.
No, because I was willing to overlook their absence at the podcast for the last 2 weeks. But for the last 2 days, she's had a feast of hummingbirds feasting on her hummingbird feeder, and she's posting it all over the place, and Susan Lipsett are going back and forth saying, oh, well, it's a good thing you got a red hummingbird feeder, knowing that I got the green one, and my hummingbird feeder is the loneliest hummingbird feeder on the planet.
You know what, see, I have a theory about your hummingbird feeder, that they are using it when you're not there. When hummingbirds are typically on the wing, so you wouldn't even know.
So, Joe, basically what Kim is trying to say is if a hummingbird hums in your backyard and you're not there, does it still make a noise?
I think no.
No, so typically they would come into your garden like around, a little after sunrise, around dawn, and you're not there. And then
This isn't about if they're there or not. It's about Pat Dalpiaz being on the shit list that you're trying to circumvent her.
All right. Pat's not here to defend herself.
Right. That's right. That there you go. I don't care. That's perfect excuse. She should be here to defend herself.
I'm going to defend
She should
Pat.
Face the music.
Wow.
They're rubbing it in.
We miss you, Pat.
Well, no.
Well, where are they? They're in Tahiti something?
They have two different factions. There's the Dalpiaz side that are the Italians, and then they have the Ryan side that are the alcoholics. They were the alcoholics this week.
Good for them.
Yeah. Yeah.
What my client meant to say is...
So, anyway.
We're going off the rail.
Chris McCarthy, I was nervous. So, at 8, usually we assemble at 8:30 to put together our show notes. 8:30 was approaching. I hadn't heard from Ralph. I knew Jimmy and Pat weren't coming. Kim always show. I can count on Kim being here, but I hadn't heard from her. And McCarthy, who's normally here the first one, wasn't here yet. So, about 8:35.
Some of us worked, Joe, on Sunday.
All right.
Some of us, yeah. We don't.
Well, that's all right. You guys keep going. I got to take care of some business.
Oh, Jesus.
When he says he has to take care of some business, does that mean he had to go to the bathroom? I really haven't figured that out.
No, I see some customers down there.
Oh,
some customers.
Have them sell my lobsters. Make some cash.
Yeah, but you guys are illegal.
Yes, he thinks
they're undersized.
They're all,
full of eggs.
Made sure, my deckhand made sure that they were all legal today. But no, it was a good catch. We left the mile marker, the dock, around 7 a.m. this morning. And went out and pulled 8 traps, and we got a total of 6 lobsters.
Wow.
Had to throw 3 back because
did some traps have none and some traps had multiples?
Yeah. Well, actually, I think every trap, with the exception of one, had at least one lobster in it. One of them had 2 lobsters. So for 8 traps to catch 6 lobsters, I think
that's pretty
Joe would say, well, a total of 9 lobsters. three had to go back, I think Joe would probably consider that to
and
be
do you
a
all
successful
love,
day.
Do you all love lobsters? Does your wife, does Charlene
we
love
do. Yeah, Brendan's a big lobster lover.
Chris, I think you have a
look
new career
tired
ahead of you.
See, the deckhand. Can everyone see Brendan? Smelly. He's got seaweed and
lobster poop
fish
all
guts,
over him.
Lobster poop.
I'm shocked I haven't thrown up yet. It's just like.
Show the audience the flip flops that you pulled up in your trap. He got a brand new pair of flip flops on,
yeah.
But they got stuck in the trap. Somebody lost them.
The funny thing about finding flip flops in the lobster trap is when I went and baited my traps on Tuesday or Wednesday of this week. I took Kate, Joe's wife, and her son Connor out, and after pulling up three or four traps, I was looking for my gloves, and I'm like, "Where's the second pair of gloves that I was using?" Come to find out, when Brendan pulled up one of the traps today, the gloves were inside the trap.
Oh, they came back. You got them
back. They came back. I got them back.
Thank God you're back, Joe, because this lobster business is going to put me to sleep.
Did you go over the spreadsheet?
No, not yet. You want me to go over the spreadsheet?
Well, the whole part of the fun for me, the whole part of the fun for me is knowing how much you have invested in this.
I know.
And we have a kind of a running thing on.
Right.
Yeah.
So now, your total per lobster came way down today.
Did
you talk about how many you caught already?
I did.
Okay.
Yeah.
So he started out, he has, what did we say? You had a
$900.
$500. He has a $500 total investment so far.
Okay.
Yeah. Not including gas.
Not including gas.
And not including,
his slave
labor. Which we need to talk about that.
Not including his slave labor. But he, so he has, it's $500.
Right.
He, up until today, a good month and a half into his lobster expedition, he had two hauls and he had two lobsters. So he had a per lobster basis of
$250
for lobsters. He could have bought, for the amount of money he has into it, he could have bought basically a crate of lobsters,
okay, so
100 pounds of lobsters. So
I guess we're looking forward to when it starts to turn.
Well, today could be the turn. So they went out this morning, and you got 6 pounds of lobsters.
I think more than 6 pounds. One of them is a 2 pound.
That big one was 2 pounds.
Yeah, but you had a couple real small ones.
Yeah, real small.
Who's there?
Who's there?
I don't know. Who it is.
Let me see.
Come in.
I'll go get him.
Now you're down to almost $100
a lobster. You got about 8 pounds of lobster so far.
Yeah.
Eight pounds
of lobster is divided by, do the math. Was it $40 per lobster now?
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, but what Joe hasn't shared with the listening audience is
$62.50.
Right.
$62.50. Very good,
yeah,
Ralph.
$62.50.
But I'm down two traps.
Per pound.
I'm down two traps. I started with 10, and I only have 8.
What happened?
I think, unfortunately, there was a lobsterman that didn't like the
your positioning.
I dropped two traps in the zone that most consider commercial, spot. And I think they took a knife to my lines, unfortunately. I don't know how Joe wants to factor that in.
Well, you know, you can't count something that you don't have.
That I don't have.
So essentially, you're still at $62.50.
But when I went out Wednesday to bait my traps, it was just a comedy of errors. So Kate came out with me, Connor. I didn't have any bait, but yet I was out in the water to bait my traps. So thankfully Mark Ring was here at the dock, and Mark was nice enough to give me some of his bait. So Mark Ring, thank you very much. And there's something special about his bait, because
that's the one that caught the lobsters.
That's the one that caught all the lobsters. Oh. So we get out there, my gaff falls out of my hand. So I said, not a problem. I'll circle around and reach over the boat and grab it.
So you have to picture the gaff. So it goes into the water, and it's aluminum, but it's kind of hollow. So you figure it'll float, and he leisurely pulls the boat around to go pick up the gaff. When he gets about 2 feet away from it, he bends over to get it. It goes glug, 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 glug. Like going away, sinks, right?
Sinks.
So now. Oh, wait, we got to add that into the total. So it's about 520.
I bought a new one yesterday at Three Lanterns.
Yeah.
So as I'm turning away to move away from that section, my prop gets stuck in a buoy rope. So now I got to shut everything down, lean over, and I'm trying to untangle the mess. So I finally get it untangled. We head out. Then I left my gloves in a lobster trap. I already told the group about that. Coming in, Connor wanted to go fishing, so he dropped the line. He was fished for about 45 minutes. And I'm like, Connor, everything in? Yep. Start the engine. The line was still out. Gets wrapped around my prop. So now I'm trying to take fishing line out of my prop.
It was a comedy of ours. Wait, did you get to the part where you looked at the tide chart?
So I'm like, Kate, it's low tide right now. I was supposed to drop her off back here at the dock. And I said, you know, the tide is going out. I need to be back at my dock because I have a tidal dock.
Do you have a tidal dock?
So we passed the mile mark. Joe will pick us up at your house. I'm like, perfect. That will help me out tremendously. So I'm taking the boat past mile marker. We get to Little River, the connection of Anisquam and Little River, and I'm like, I can't make it through there.
The tide was up. I
look at my phone, and I'm like, geez, I don't know what is going on. I still have 2 hours,
to
get in. I was in the wrong...
Chatham. He had Chatham punched up.
I had Chatham up on my phone.
Oh, jeez.
Is it coming?
Oh, my gosh.
So, anything that could go wrong.
Wow.
So I took the boat to mile marker, and we drank.
So I'm
I thought I had boat problems.
Oh my god! My boat's running perfectly.
Today made me. So I was very confident in my prediction that there's no way he's gonna get his money back, lobstering. But today he got, six lobsters.
$62.50, Joe.
So yeah, so I'm a little concerned that the over under is not gonna hit.
Chris, I have faith in you.
I can do it.
So were you still? I want to know. Were you still laughing and smiling at the end of the day?
I was.
He was.
I was.
Yeah. When he got to Mile Marker and he got
Chris
John Daly in his.
How about we do a little Shark Tank here?
Shark Tank. Yes.
I will. This is my offer.
Yeah.
I'll give you $250. For 51% of your business.
And you can. That's very good.
Okay.
Right, does it include the boat?
Let me talk to my deckhand. Could I?
Yeah,
call
but
a friend?
But you don't pay him.
I do pay him.
I will pay you. Right. So go ahead, ask him the question now.
How much did I give you today?
None.
What?
You didn't give me anything.
I gave you a muffin.
Oh. Okay.
He's gonna eat the lobsters though. I have a feeling.
Yeah. Well, Brendan does.
I think that's a pretty fair offer.
I think so too. It is a good offer, but unfortunately, Ralph, I can't give up 51% of my company. I would like to counteroffer.
Sure, go ahead.
1,000 for 25% of my company.
4,000
valuation. How are you valuating your company for twice what you paid for it, and you're still in the negative? My chief financial officer, Rick Nikorowski, would not agree with that investment.
Based on my catch today, I think the lobsters are here.
His trajectory,
yeah.
If you put that on a chart, it's nothing but up. Kim has a coastal waterways Waterbird Conservation Cooperators meeting. Why don't you explain that?
Well, that is coming up on Tuesday. And so that is with all the heads of all the waterbird ecological conservation programs all around the state as well as all around New England. And so everybody comes and meets and shares stories about their successes. But I think people in Massachusetts should be very proud that we're at the forefront of the Coastal Waterbird Recovery Program.
Excellent news
for
our coastal waterfront bird population.
Ralph, you're coastal.
Coastal shorebird protection program.
I'd like to be bi-coastal.
I don't know if Ralph's a supporter, because I see him out on his deck with a BB gun.
No,
I'm just trying to scare the people away from the...
That's right, it's the people. You love nature.
I like nature. It's the people that I don't like hanging around.
The tourists.
Yeah, the tourists. Yeah. They come there with their cameras and they start taking pictures.
Do you get a lot of people right in front of your house?
Oh, yeah, we get a lot of people who walk by and... Yeah.
Ralph
charges
$5 a head.
No, I do not charge any money.
I remember when this. Were you living there when the Snowy Owl was there?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
There were two. Well, yes. there were two different occasions.
Well, we had Bubo and we had Hedwig. So
Hedwig. Yeah.
Hedwig was the one that stayed all winter long.
Yeah.
Was he the one from Harry Potter?
Yes.
Yeah. Hedwig. She was a she, and she stayed all winter long, and Bubo was there for about a week or so, but she scared, the females are larger than the males, and she scared him out of her territory.
So did
you name
them?
So I asked the readers to name them, and
they
named Hedwig, and then I named Bubo, because the Latin name for snowy owls is Bubo scandiacus,
okay.
So I thought that would help people learn what the Latin name was.
And are they tagged?
No.
I mean, how do you know?
You can tell by looking at their feather patterning. You can't tell from year to year because they molt and their feather pattern changes, but you can tell, you know, if you're looking at the same, especially with a 400 millimeter lens, you can see that it's the same one every day. And she had the same habits.
Right.
And
Hedwig had that little wand.
Oh, and he had the cape. He had the cape on too.
Glasses.
Yeah.
Black.
And the females usually have a little bit darker barring. The males are typically lighter. And we're mostly seeing the young ones. When we're on Cape Ann in the winter, we're mostly seeing the ones that, when they have a big eruption of snowy owls in the Arctic, which comes from having an eruption of lemmings. That's their main food. So when a lot of lemmings survive, then a lot of the hatchlings survive, and the females will even lay more eggs. Like, so she might lay like 5 or 6 eggs in a normal year, but in a year when there's a lot of lemmings, she might lay 9 or 10 eggs. And then all those hatchlings, if they survive, then they don't really have, there's a limit, less food available, and that's why the younger ones start coming down into our area. So that when there's a snowy owl eruption, it's because there was a really good year reproductively of snowy owls in the Arctic. We didn't have an eruption last year. We had one 2 years ago. So who knows what will happen this year? It happens every couple of years, so it's pretty exciting. So it's exciting, especially for like people. In 2012, there was an eruption, and people in the Bahamas and Bermuda and Florida were seeing
snowy owls. Really?
Yeah, so that was pretty extraordinary.
So snowy owl, that doesn't mean they like snow.
No, well,
just because of their color.
No, but they breed. That's in their breeding area. There.
Oh, they breed in the snow.
Yeah, they breed in the Arctic.
In the Arctic.
In the Arctic.
And they were going all the way down to the Caribbean.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Do you think they fly first class?
Yeah, it's unusual for them to go as far as Bermuda and Florida.
How long do you think it would take them to go from?
They don't do a straight trajectory, because with snowy owls they put transmitters on them, so they can really tell what their pattern is, and they really zigzag around. So it's pretty,
Tom likes it.
Tom said yes.
There are various websites you can follow with certain, specific snow owls.
So it's Joe.
Oh, Joe, thanks for coming today.
Oh, hey, Joe. What happened?
What's that?
Huh?
What happened?
Nice sticker. You use it up. We don't have access to stickers now, Those stickers, that's the last of the stickers.
What happened?
We'll talk about it in a bit. So, Elise and I was here. We're going to talk about her segment next. Okay. She is here. I got a phone call last week.
Yes.
And you said you're going to do, you were a commission, I don't know how it works.
Yep, I was.
You work for North Shore Magazine.
Exactly, right. So,
my assignment for September, they've decided to kind of cover neighborhoods. So Gloucester is one of them.
Oh,
so
nice.
Oh, wonderful.
We're here covering some of a lot of what Joe does, and then the tourism part and how it's grown. We're also covering Karen Hansen from Engel and Volkers, who's
Warren
my best
Johnson.
Buzz.
She's great.
Yeah.
She's
amazing.
She's part of that. She's part of the, Karen Hansen is part of like this group of people that are coming to Gloucester and see the vision of what's happening here and want, is really investing in our community.
Mm-hmm.
She's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. So you contacted me and you're like, oh, can I come down and take some shots? And I was like, well, probably the best time to come because it's the least busy and it's really what we do is the podcast. And then usually in the morning on Sundays, so she wanted to get some shots of offloading the boat. So
right, I'm super embarrassed. I didn't even know there was a podcast. So I am so excited to be here this morning because, you know, I've kind of watched Joe, like, come up with the Good Morning Gloucester stuff. And,
yeah.
Like, it's just amazing, you know, because Gloucester is actually where my father came from.
Oh.
So it's my hometown. So it's definitely has a special place in my heart. And you know, when my mother came to this country from Lisbon, this is where she landed as well. And so, you know, there's a lot of history here. My father is one of 14 kids.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, I have many, many, many
cousins.
You have
many
cousins
here?
Right, yeah. And my father, I mean, really, really interesting story, and I'll just be real quick about it. But, you know, when my father was born, his mother died having him. He was number 14.
Oh.
And so his siblings, a lot of them were older and married with their own kids already. So back then, you know, I come from a family of fishermen. Both my grandfathers were fishermen. My grandfather was a fisherman in Portugal, and my Italian grandfather was a fisherman here. I've had many cousins, you know, the alligator lost at sea, things like that. So the history kind of runs deep in my blood. But anyways, my father was sent to live with his other family, and that is the Destino family.
Yes.
So that is,
wow.
That is why my, you know, my family is really like it. Just there's so many people.
Yeah,
like,
you probably walk around downtown, cousins everywhere.
I've got the Sinagra side.
Yeah.
I've got my, you know, my mother's side, which is still here. Even my mother's sister is still here, and all her family. So, yeah,
awesome.
It's a super, super special place for me, and I. You know, I love to see what Joe's doing here. I love, like, I can't wait to listen to the podcast more. And
you guys went to high school together.
Oh, yeah,
and
Joe and I went to high
school
together.
And Chris.
Yeah, and Chris.
And
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Felicia graduated. Well, she was a year behind us. These guys were a year above me, and I was
in between.
Yeah.
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 Now, we have a team. So Good Morning Gloucester, just I want to make sure when people listen to this, Kimmel knows I say this all the time. I have to make sure I let people know. There's like 20 contributors. So I'm like kind of like, I'm the editor, I'm the founder, I do most of the most of the work, but there it wouldn't be nearly what it is without like contributions from like Kim and all the other people. And Catherine and
Pat
and Donna and all the other people, you know, David Cox, Manny Silva, Chris McCarthy, Ralph DiGiorgio. Now, there's a lot of hands.
Nobody really heard about Good Morning Gloucester until Chris and
I
joined the show.
I love it.
This is exploded.
Yeah.
Doubled.
Podcast.
Yeah.
We wouldn't be anywhere without Chris wearing Good Morning Gloucester stickers on the side of his hat.
Well, that's because the camera's over there.
Yeah.
See that?
Yeah. He's always thinking.
That's his good side.
That's his marketing. That's his marketing background.
Good side. He looks 42 on that side, but if he turns around, he looks 91 on this
side. That was a wonderful story. Thank you for sharing.
Oh, my gosh.
It is nice.
Anytime. Yeah. So when Ryan sent me my assignments for this month, I was like, and I don't even know if he really knows like my history, but it just so happens Gloucester was on my list. And I was like, yay.
So he told you to come here.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
He was like, we're covering neighborhoods.
Do you live in Gloucester?
I don't. I live in Beverly now.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've lived in Beverly for quite a while.
Where's that?
we don't go
now
off,
that
the,
you,
off the island anymore.
Now that you, when you move to Gloucester, it's like,
yeah, you don't, yeah.
It's really, it's something else. It's funny, when I went to Fenwick, I had this thing where I never hung out in Gloucester at all, and now, like in the last, we've been out of school for so long, in the last like 15 years, like I don't even, I've gone completely the other way, like I don't even want, I don't care to leave.
Yeah.
except for like we go to like into Boston for like go to some games or some nice restaurants. Other than that, like,
he doesn't leave unless we drag him off the island.
I love my little spot. Me and Kate, we bought the house in East Gloucester. We're a mile and a half to work, a mile to Niles Beach.
One minute from me.
Rocky Neck. We got Ralph right around the corner. Stop and Shop. Why would I have to leave?
Stop and Shop.
It's funny though. Like I love.
We gotta Stop and Shop. I don't have to go anywhere.
Wait
till Home Goods moves in. Basket.
No, but I like Stop and Shop. I've turned.
Yeah. We have Aspen Dental.
That's right.
We are gonna have a Starbucks.
Oh, that's it. He'll never leave the island.
No. I'm all about my Long Gal and Cape Ann coffee.
Oh, yeah. No,
I got my. Someone brought me this.
Love our local coffee.
We'll do like
I got my frequent coffee card at Long Gal.
Oh,
yeah.
You do?
Okay. 10 coffees, you get a free one.
Yeah.
This is all they talk. The show isn't really exciting. It's just them talking back and forth.
Well, you know what? So for the people that like may not be here, they'd love to hear about the little insider things.
A lot of people want to move to Gloucester.
Maybe.
We were out the other night, bunch of friends, everybody come up and they would say, oh my God, we love it here, we want to move up here. And
that is so true.
The same people that 20 years ago looked down on Gloucester are killing themselves to move here now.
Exactly.
Well, since Chris and I moved to town.
the prestige factor.
I followed Ralph and Mick up here.
That's right.
I'm like, if they live up there, that's where it's got to be at.
Right.
But speaking of a hidden secret that people might want to know.
Yeah, here's an insider tip. Go ahead.
Sugar Mags. So I've been there.
Did you have breakfast?
No, because I've been there to breakfast 10 times, but I've never been there for lunch.
Lunch is amazing.
Oh, my God.
It is amazing, and it's one of those places that you don't think to go.
Yeah.
And then you go there,
it is a breakfast.
Yeah, you just have it in your head. But that needs to change.
Oh, my God, it's outstanding.
That spinach salad that they have.
The salads are huge.
Yeah, they're huge.
I didn't
have
breakfast, so you're really starting to make me hungry.
Yeah,
so
you might have to go.
Yeah, we should go, because they have a really nice brunch.
But one of their specials that day was chicken salad with spinach, strawberries, and poppy seed dressing in like this fajita wrap that they warmed up with broccoli salad on the side. For $11.
Wow.
So we got this week you said we're gonna take out lunch there.
Yeah.
Did you take a picture of it?
I did.
See, you failed me.
You know what? I should go and follow you because I need a picture of Sugar
Magnolia.
So I should take a picture of you eating.
Will more
Sugar
Magnolia for my lunch?
I don't know.
I'm definitely coming out.
Listen, no. This is the thing. You always like down because Ralph craps on you for being cheap, but you self perpetuate this myth.
Right. So and then he makes me feel bad because I pick on him.
Right.
No,
but
I'm not cheap. I'm not free.
You're an opportunist.
I'm not free. I'm free.
Let's just say the art director of North Shore Magazine, I'm just going to say right now, when you see Chris's lunch on my expense report,
there you go.
That's what it is, Ryan. That's what it is.
Yeah, but
you're clear now.
I'm coming too.
Okay. And Ralph. So it's not me, Ryan.
You can't just have Chris eating by himself.
Well,
that's kind of
weird.
We need a variety of shots.
We get a candle.
What would be really nice is when we reach over to each other's plate. We grab a broccoli.
Which we do on a regular basis.
No, what you should do is you two do like
beat each other.
The two dogs there with the spaghetti, and you go give each other the
kiss
in the middle. Lady and the Tramp. That's the picture you want for North Shore Magazine. That sells magazines.
Yes.
That sells.
All right,
what day you want to go? What day are we going? We'll pick a day.
We're going to pick a day where he's off.
I know.
I don't know. You guys could go.
You have to be. It's a team. We're a team.
All right.
Kim's going to be available too. You two will do this.
No.
After the show, we'll schedule after the show. So next topic.
Next topic.
Gloucester Rock.
I'm going to talk about the Gloucester Rock. I found this. I was just outside of my door. Take it up to the thing and show front and back.
Jesus,
Joe.
Very demanding.
So basically,
I found out who did it.
It's because they missed his window.
Huh?
It was right outside
my door. So someone planted it for me, basically.
I did it there for you. Oh, that's
and
so
I found out who it was.
Joe, you got
four
people watching.
That no, but yeah, but we'll, by noontime there's gonna be about 800.
Rosemary Colomo.
Calamo. It's my next door neighbor.
Hello, Rosemary.
Hi, Rosemary. Who else?
Don't touch the screen. You're liable to turn it off.
We just lost somebody. Now we only have three.
Well, they're looking at a rock with a lobster on it.
I want to talk about the Gloucester Rocks. So is everybody familiar with the Gloucester Rocks phenomenon?
Yes. Yes. I'm not.
You're not? Okay. We'll explain.
Why?
So, stop. Okay, you can handle it. All right, turn it around so she can see the writing on the back. I gotta get my lobster voice.
This
has become a phenomenon. I think there's 6,000 members of this Facebook group, Gloucester Rocks, Glosta Rocks on Facebook. And the premise is people draw on rock, they color rocks, mm-hmm. paint them, I should say.
Yeah, they paint them.
And to various levels of finish. You know, some are by children and they may have a certain type of aesthetic quality, and then there's some done by artists.
You're going to touch that now after it came out of it.
Hey, my cool is clean.
Oh, that's cute.
But so then they write on the back, post the picture to the Facebook group, and it started last summer, early last summer, and every kid in Gloucester was hiding Gloucester rocks, all usually on walking paths, but random Aww. Places. And the audio, people are going to freak.
Sorry.
Yeah, and, you just blew out some lady's ears.
So Brenda Davis, Brenda, on the hibachi, Brenda Davis made this one, who's Kylie Davis, who works for the Thomas Lennon, our friend Kylie.
Oh,
do you know
okay.
Kylie?
Yeah.
Her mom made this, and she used to work here at the dock for my dad, back in Whiting.
Oh, that's so sweet.
And I wanted her to come on the podcast today to talk about it. So you can see this. So the other thing I want to mention about the Gloucester Rocks is, see how smooth that is and shiny?
Yeah.
There's a whole process for these rocks, yeah. and you can get the stuff to make them shiny like that at Toodaloo's. Toodaloo's has a whole punch list of things. I think it's like lacquer. They paint them and then they lacquer them.
Nice.
It's pretty nice.
For the rock stars.
Yeah, pretty cool, right?
Do people know where they can get nice smooth rocks like this? At Pebble Beach.
Beach, on the beach, yeah.
Pebble Beach has the smooth round ones.
Right, it has the super smooth ones. So that's a good place to get
Is Pebble
them.
Beach officially Rockport or Gloucester?
It's officially Rockport.
Yeah, okay.
But you can just drive up, park, grab a rock, and go. Because you don't want the police to see you doing that.
They're not going to bust you if you take
yes,
a couple rocks.
Really? For stealing rocks?
Yes,
a couple rocks?
Well,
wait a minute. You're saying that it's against the law to take
because the rocks are so smooth there and round, and people can drive up with buckets. So they really discourage even just taking one or two.
Interesting.
So I can't use it to landscape my yard.
Exactly.
I have a feeling that they're not gonna. That if you take a handful of rocks, they're not gonna break.
Might be able to get some out of Chris's closet traps.
I think this is the thing.
And some flip-flops.
I don't think that they would bust you. They may say put the rocks back, but I don't think they're going
to
cut
the rocks
and book
no,
back
no,
away
not.
From
the
rocks.
The rocks.
So I'm going to take some, and then when they pull me over, I'm going to say, well, Joe said it was okay.
I didn't say it was okay. I said, I doubt they're going to cuff you.
Cuff me? What, with handcuffs?
That's what I'm saying. Like, what's the worst thing that's going to happen? They're going to say, put the rocks back.
They're
going to
say, put the rocks back.
They might handcuff them and then stone them.
Stone with stones.
Bury me in stones. I'm gonna ask Ralph. Let's ask Ralph a question.
Oh, Ralph has a Ralph has a situation.
Yes.
It may or may not be real life, and these may or may not be fictional characters.
Very well put. This could be a real story. It may not be a real story. But
right.
I have a friend
right.
who has a friend
mm-hmm.
that is engaged to be married.
Are they friends?
Dead friends.
Okay.
I have a friend who has a friend who is engaged to be married. Okay? But the person that we'll call it friend B is...
The betrothed. Is that the right word?
Betrothed? Soon to be betrothed.
Soon to be betrothed.
Very good.
Okay.
What does that mean?
That's the Bishop Femic
okay.
Exchange.
the friend B who's engaged to this female, none of the friends like this female. She's a very mean person.
Dun, dun, dun.
Very nasty to his friends.
Oh.
Wow.
Which may or may not also be your friends.
And may or may not be my friends.
Which is friend C.
Well, yeah. Those
we need a Venn diagram.
But if
we
friend A and B leave at the same time, does friend C bypass or intercept them at any time.
Carry the two. Maybe not. So anyway,
so
the question is, does friend A tell friend B
how all the friends
A through Z do not like this woman?
Yeah.
And say, look, you are making a serious mistake here. This isn't going to work. And save this friend B a life. Long of hell.
Can I be the guy? Can I be the first to respond?
Absolutely.
Okay. So, I had a similar situation, and I didn't say anything until there were several violent incidences, with smashing cell phones, maybe smashing wine glasses and stuff like that.
And
at that point, I said, "What the fuck are you doing?
Right.
You don't like. You're a grown ass man. I'm gonna tell you once, and I won't say it again.
Yeah.
I don't want that person around me anymore.
Yeah.
But that's the only time I would say something. I wouldn't say anything if it was just I didn't like the other person, because if they stay together, you end up being the asshole all the time.
Right.
You know what I mean? I only would say it if there was like some real bad stuff happening.
Some really bad mental problems happening.
So basically what you're saying is if you and I were best of friends.
Best of friends?
Well, I should say best of friends. Let's say you and I are friends.
Yeah.
Okay. We're close.
Yeah.
And I was engaged to this woman that you didn't like. Excuse me. She didn't like you. Or any of your other friends. You know, obviously not going to like Chris. But, and I say that with my whole heart.
Stuff.
What do you do? Do you just sit there and say, you know what, Ralph, you know what, you know?
The only way I say anything is if I see them doing, the other person doing something 100% detrimental. Not just it can't be just an attitude. I have to like have like some.
So you're basically going to let me marry this person. Wait a minute. Knowing that she is not good for me. Knowing that I'm going to have a life of hell. And I'm probably not going to see a lot of my friends that much anymore because they can't stand to be with you. My fiance.
See, I'm assuming the guy's a grown ass man and he can make his own decisions. Like,
well,
you know,
sometimes love is blind.
Sometimes there's something else. There's
in
an
Charlene's
X
case, that was the truth.
All right, go ahead. She is an angel. Let's go around. Let's hear other people.
Yeah, I want to hear everybody's opinion.
Who wants to go
so
next?
We heard Joe's opinion.
All right, Alicia's going
to
go next.
I have
yeah, sure.
I
go ahead.
So, I mean, I don't want to give the. You know,
I won't give you too many details because.
No, you don't have to give me too many details.
We have thousands of listeners and they're probably watching the show.
So,
let me tell you how long
has this
three.
Couple been together?
Oh, this is a good question.
Steve Reed.
They've been a couple for a while. They've been engaged for a while.
Steve Reed says,
so I think they've been engaged for like two or three months.
Steve Reed, bros before hoes.
I need you to stay back here. Just comment on, give us what Steve Reed says.
Yeah, I don't know the exact, but they've been engaged for a few months, and then they were seeing each other for a while.
So
is that
a few months?
Ralph,
that's not a long
Ralph,
time.
Shut up.
No, but they've been...
let him finish the talk.
Is that... Who's saying shut up? Is it someone I know?
No. Go ahead.
Yeah, your wife.
I wouldn't put it past that. I don't know how long they've been dating, to be honest with you, but I know they've been engaged for a few months. But they've been dating a while. Long enough to get married, you know,
So what's your take?
So, I guess, you know, I would say it's super easy to kind of sit back and assess what's happening and make judgments, but I guess the bottom line is you don't know what they're like when they're alone.
Mm.
You know what I mean? So, I mean, it's hard to see what he would see in her, and it's probably hard to see what she sees in him. But obviously, they have some sort of connection. Maybe a dialogue with her would be more appropriate and
ooh.
Say...
I don't know if I could pull that off.
That's like...
Because like walking, and then she knows that you hate her.
Say hey.
Walking into a lion's den with a pork chop around your neck.
You know, it's so funny. I think guys think everything is like a confrontation, right? Like, if you just go to her and say, hey, listen, like I'm feeling
a little bit.
I'm like, you know, it's a difficult conversation. Nobody wants to have it, right? But if you care about your friend, you can just say, hey, listen, we care about our friend, and you know, these are some of the things we see. Are you okay? Like, do you not
okay.
like us? Do you not
That's
like us?
That's a woman's perspective,
I see.
Like, have we done
that
something?
That is one way to handle
have
it.
Have we done something to offend you? I mean, who knows what's happened? And I'm just playing devil's advocate, right?
No, I think that's a very...
I feel like that puts you... Well, she's never always going to be from that point on. If she wasn't uncomfortable around you before, now she's really uncomfortable.
You know, I was thinking. I was thinking a different.
No?
I was thinking like she said, you know, like guys are confrontational. I was like, you know,
that's not a confrontation.
Hey, Charlie, you need to go and tell your friend that he's marrying it a loser and he shouldn't do it. But now that I listen to that, you know, my opinion seems to be
a good topic. The number of viewers is going up.
Skyrocket.
Four.
Significant. Oh, you know who's on?
Who?
Chris Harris from The Bachelor. He wants to chime in. He says he has the answer to this question.
All right.
Chris Harris.
Let's hear it.
We don't want to talk to Chris right now. We're busy. We don't call him to interrupt him during his show.
Do you have any thoughts, Kim?
Yeah, well, I think more similarly to you that I would not, for the same reasons, unless they were really showing mental problems, I wouldn't say anything. Because you are making yourself, you can alienate yourself then from your friend.
Mm-hmm.
If your friend
and that's obviously the biggest.
At the same time, right?
You
gotta be alienated from your friend anyway.
If the woman doesn't let you see her, you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't.
Your friend is gonna need a friend.
Jeez.
If this person is really like, you know, if this
God.
Person is really alienating everybody else. Your friend is going to need a friend at some point down the line, and you want to be there.
All right, so basically what you're saying
after
is
everything
you,
goes
gotta,
to
you,
shit.
You bite your tongue, you let this miserable marriage take place, and then in 2 or 3 years when it falls apart, you sit there and say, you know what, I didn't want to say anything, but I'm here for you. And then he turns around and says, you didn't say, why didn't you tell me?
You don't say, I didn't want to say anything, you just say, I'm here for you if you need anything.
Okay, I think it's a tough situation, but I appreciate all the input. I would continue the questions, but I'm not going to get anything good out of Chris.
When the sex is that good, then it doesn't matter how many good friends you have.
Well, how do you know? Nobody brought up sex. You have to assume, right?
You have to assume that's all it all stems from. We're all animals,
but at least the majority of you two are.
No, but if you know that this woman is off the rails. It's a miserable person.
I was having a serious
There's
got to
be something that's keeping them there, right?
This was a serious topic.
Am I wrong?
I asked for, you know,
that's,
some
you,
advice
finally,
here
we get to
for
the,
my peers.
To the main
well, you know what they say? That there's really two things. You follow the money and follow the sex. I mean, really, you know, there's
if
all...
If you can get both...
No, I'm just saying, like, you know, you want answers, follow
them. I'm just trying to figure out what your two wives are thinking.
I'd like to ask Kate this question. I wish Kate would, see if Kate's on there. I'd like to see what Kate would say.
I can't see who's on.
Well, this is another episode of Ask Ralph.
Next week.
Next week.
Send in your questions.
We're
going to
be talking about lobster with saffron sauce.
I have another question.
Okay.
Right.
Follow up.
Without being discreet. Give me an example of one thing that was just so blatant.
Oh, well, that might give it away. I don't know if I can do that without speaking to my counsel.
Or without sending you into the...
Let's just say, I don't know, I don't want to...
They probably don't listen to this.
We should probably get a millennial's point of view.
A lot of listeners.
I like to hear, Brendan, what do you think?
All I can say is I learned from his dad and just don't get married.
That's what his dad says?
No, my
what about your poor mother?
Married,
what about your poor mother?
Well,
you should never say that publicly because the poor mother's going to feel horrible.
My grandfather always says, just don't get married.
As a joke.
Of course.
I can see that it's obviously rubbing off.
Of course.
He's taking it to heart.
Oh.
Ralph, go ahead, give us something.
No, I think we're gonna leave it alone. I don't wanna say anything that might incriminate somebody, but let's just say
you
that.
You could make something up that's close.
I'm not gonna make something up. Okay, I'm gonna make something up. No, I'm not gonna make something. She's just very controlling. She's mean to all friend A's
spouses.
You know, friends and girlfriends and all the other friends.
See, I think you have a problem with the friend more than this girl, because the friend should.
Well, I totally agree.
Should
the
recognize
problem,
this and say
the friend B is definitely the problem, because he doesn't have the balls to step up for himself and.
But does he see it?
I don't know how he doesn't when everybody else sees it. Even. Close family members. See.
Oh,
so,
maybe you should get a
what
close
does it get back
family
to
member.
Well, I thought of that too.
You should get a close family member to get in there.
Well, you know what we should do? You should send.
Why don't we have him on the show?
Or send him that video.
An intervention?
Oh, the crazy hot matrix. That would solve all
matrix.
Your problems. The crazy
yes.
hot matrix.
I love that one.
It's brilliant. I mean, there's nothing more.
All right,
the funny thing is about the crazy hot matrix is they act like it's a spoof. And it's a joke, but there's nothing
it's
more
the
real.
It's the greatest advice.
It's the truest. I sent that to the second I saw that, I sent that to my nephew BJ.
Yeah.
I'm like,
we sent it to Connor too.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
All
right,
so send it to me.
Send it to Brendan.
You don't know what the crazy hot matrix is?
No, listen, Joe, again,
I'll
say
link.
Work
put a
for
link.
A living.
Okay, we'll put a link. A follow up to ask Ralph is the crazy hot matrix.
Crazy hot matrix.
Well, I'm not here next Sunday for the show or the following Sunday.
All right.
What?
You can hang out with Pat Dalpiaz in the naughty.
Next Sunday we're at the thing, the Wentworth.
All right. Well, we'll figure that out. Did you guys see the lobster sign for the lobster company down on the Cape that I posted?
I saw it.
No.
No. Okay.
I saw it. It was pretty bad.
So there's a company down on the Cape called Barlow's Lobster.
I know that company.
Okay. So they have a sign on the road.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like a 2-year, not a 3-year, not a 5-year-old or a 10-year-old. It looked like a 2-year-old drew this lobster.
Drew the lobster.
Which one more thing that we can add to the list why Cape Ann is so far superior.
Right?
So what if the owner of this lobster company had their, you know, 2 or 3-year-old grandchild draw a little lobster and said, "This is my grandchild. I'm going to put this out there."
But what if the person is like challenged in some
Don't
way?
Don't go there.
I know. Scratch what he just said. But mine's legit. If the guy had his little grandson or granddaughter drew a picture and said, Papa,
it's a huge
he might have blown it up.
I don't think so.
Show me a picture.
I'll show you the picture. So our friends for Thatcher Ellis.
Because I used to be a handwriting analyst.
If you look at the blog, it's on the blog.
Have people been sending in pictures?
Yeah, we have a couple pictures, and we're going to post the pictures on Monday for people to see. Oh, God, my eyes.
You want? Your glasses are right there in front of you.
I got it.
Friend, the tide's coming up. We had to climb that ladder. We almost died.
It's pretty far down.
It's got seaweed all over it.
Here it is, right here.
It's just a little dangerous over there.
So I have a.
That's exactly what happened.
I'm telling you. So I have this thing about lobster logos. See? Would you agree?
Yeah.
That's what happened.
Well, you know who did the same thing is Ipazi.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
In Danvers. If you look at their logo, one of their daughters, drew that.
I think the daughter did.
And it's beautiful.
I have a thing about lobster logos that you can tell. A lobster imposter or a nautical place that wants to act like they're nautical, how they're imposters when they draw a lobster logo, if they put 2 crusher claws or 2 same size claws, because obviously
let's call Barlow's Lobsters and ask them who drew this eye.
Stop that right now. So you have on a realistic lobster, you'll have a bulbous crusher claw and the pointy pincher claw.
Explain, Joe.
This is what not to do with drawing a lobster. We're gonna enter.
Still beautiful.
We're gonna enter. We're gonna enter Jim. This is his father-in-law.
Johnny's father.
So we have 2 pincher claws.
2 pincher claws.
And
so case in point.
Do not draw. Yeah. So.
Well, how do you know?
It was a nice thought.
But Jim, I have shared that feedback.
So Jim Ellis's lobster is better than the Barlow one.
Yes.
And so at least he's got that going for him. But we have kids that are sending in photos of their lobster signs, what they would do for lobster signs. We're gonna post them.
Here at Captain Joe's.
I said instead of Barlow, it is a contest. Instead of Barlow's, it says Captain Joe's, and instead of Cape Cod, it says Cape Ann. Those are the only parameters: a lobster, Captain.
Can I answer?
No, you have to be 16 or younger.
And the
winner is going to get a $20 gift certificate to Surfari.
Why 16?
Because that's like a child. You know?
Yeah, that's a very sweet idea to Surfari.
Surfari's great.
I mean, family and friends, can they participate?
We can't enter, Chris.
You can enter, but you no.
You can enter through Mia, though.
Oh.
You're going to subvent.
Oh, that's it, yes.
Kim went to Short and Main. How was your dinner at Short and Potential?
Short and Main, it was fantastic. I love the staff there.
Did the guy behind the bar with the curly handlebar mustaches, did he get the shaker and did he go like this? And did he make a big show like he's the only person that knows how to shake a martini? Because it's Short and Pretentious. I mean, Short and Main.
Okay, I have to tell you a funny story.
Tell me the funny story.
Okay, so oftentimes.
It drives me crazy.
Right, but oftentimes.
Just make me a drink.
This spring, we would get on Friday nights with Charlotte, we would order pizza, meatballs, and salad with avocado from Short and Main. And so now she goes around the house and she goes, pizza, meatballs, on a pretend phone. And then she adds ice cream and hot dogs and all kinds of things to it. So I said, tonight we're going to go to Short and Main, and you're going to see where we get our pizza and our meatballs from.
I like that pizza.
Yeah. The pizza is great.
The pizza is great.
I'm going to tell you what one of the best takes is there. Sit at the bar. Go for the dollar oysters.
5 o'clock dollar
oysters.
$5 dollar oysters.
The sardines with the bread and a cold beer and a pizza and the meatballs.
Yeah, meatballs are good.
You can get out of there. You and your wife can get out of there for under $80. And you have it is fantastic.
It's
the main reason I make fun is because of the bartender.
Yeah.
Because he's so obnoxious the way he makes fun.
He wasn't there last night, or he might have been waiting on tables, I think. But we had we sat on the at the oyster bar, mm-hmm. so Charlotte see the pizzas being made.
Yeah.
The big pizza.
That pizza oven's awesome.
It is awesome.
Do they still do their chicken night? Fried chicken.
You've
maintained that their fried chicken is the best in town.
Yeah, they do.
Oh, I didn't know they had fried chicken.
Listen. They don't do it in the summertime. In the wintertime, they have fried chicken Thursdays.
Is it upstairs only, or is it both sides, both things?
It used to just be upstairs, but you can get it to go.
Okay.
We usually get it to go.
Oh, interesting.
Right. Biscuits, gravy, potatoes, root veggies roasted with like a big portion of fried chicken.
Really?
And fried chicken is to die for.
Wow.
Like, nobody makes fried chicken.
I love fried chicken. My wife doesn't allow me to eat it, but
she's not watching.
Maybe friends C through Z don't approve of that.
She's watching.
She'll let me have it. Just take the skin off.
It's been a banner year for Monarchs, according
to
Kim
Smith.
Oh, my
God, yeah.
Yeah, have you noticed?
Yeah. I told my son, I'm like, look at all the Monarchs. He's like, I haven't seen a monarch. And then right after he said that, we saw like 40 of them.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Right?
Mm-hmm. I brought in...
Tell everybody you saw a monarch.
Your input today has been off the charts,
right.
Brendan.
I know.
Thank you. If it wasn't for you right now, I don't know what we'd be doing.
Now's a good time to ask for a raise.
I had a caterpillar, and I went and cut a sprig of milkweed just to give to the caterpillar.
Sprig.
And 3 days later, I had 40 caterpillars. In a terrarium. There were so many eggs on the sprig. I mean, it's just
phenomenal. You give a moose a cookie.
So
do you think it has to do with something with the particular weather pattern that we're getting?
I think it's the weather, the pattern.
A little bit warming.
Last year we had a very fantastic migration, a big uptake in the migration, so we had a much bigger population down in Mexico than we have. So who knows, maybe we're trending upward. I hope this past year wasn't like a spike and then it drops. You know what I mean? Because the real numbers.
So there is no definitive trend over the past 10 years, because you've gone up, you've had ups and downs.
Yes, you've had ups and downs. So hopefully, there is I haven't posted it yet. There is a large monarch count coming up.
Ooh.
So where people can count the monarchs that they see over like a day period, and then report them, and that will help the.
Do you get paid to be a watcher?
No, it's a citizen scientist. Then.
A citizen scientist.
So people who record data like from their backyards, they're called citizen scientists.
Speaking of global warming. July was the
hottest
month in the whole world.
I didn't know it was the whole world.
Yeah,
I knew it was in Boston.
Yeah.
I knew it was in Boston. Broke all records, July did.
Yeah.
They're not telling us
that
we're moving closer to
the
sun.
Yeah. But the whole world
was the hottest for the month of July.
That's pretty scary.
That's global warming.
I mean, someone's going to have to fact check me.
Yeah, that's
not fact.
Scary.
Fact.
It's pretty bad.
Joe,
I was just putting the link in for the crazy hot matrix, so I want to make sure it didn't go by the wayside.
Okay, what's our next topic? I have to go pretty soon.
Yeah,
so
did we talk about people that go to local bars with their own cruises?
No,
we haven't spoken about that. Okay,
no.
So I've noticed a trend.
An observation.
You're observing this.
I've observed a trend in this year, and I don't know if it started before this, of local people carrying their own personal koozies, collapsible koozies, from bar to bar.
So you see a lot of them
at Captain Carlo's. What's that?
So I don't understand, because it's illegal to go in between. So do they, like,
a koozie?
Drink?
No, they just bring a koozie. They just take this pot.
So they take the koozie, they take it off, they put it in their back pocket,
they
go to the next place.
That worked out well, bro.
Yeah, they just take this pot.
So, I mean, you got to be a true professional to carry around, to know you're leaving for the day, and stick the koozie in your pocket, knowing you're going to be going to multiple bars drinking.
The funny thing,
Joe,
is,
this
Joe,
is even more reason to get off the island.
Yeah.
Every once in a while.
We're going to start doing it. You know that.
Well, I don't like. It's not that I don't like those koozies. They're probably better than nothing. But once you've used, the Yeti koozie that you stole from me. Once you use one of those, you know that there's no substitute.
So let's start carrying around the Yeti one.
Well, that's a little awkward, because you can't stick it in your back pocket. These people are they're just like, hey, what's going on? What's going on? What the fuck just happened? I'm telling you, there's like 10 of them, and they go from bar to bar, and I see them at all the different bars, and they're all...
So we need to start putting Good Morning Gloucester koozies in people's hands.
I like the way you're thinking. That's not a bad idea. Well, I might do Good Morning. If I don't do Good Morning Gloucester, maybe I could do half a run of Good Morning Gloucester, half a run of NortheastBBQ.com once.
I can get you 60-cent koozies.
60-cent koozies?
Really?
All right, we're in. How many do I have to order?
5,000.
Stop it. No, forget it.
100 probably?
100? Okay, I'm in. One color or two color?
You can change the colors. You can't change the logo, though. It's 100 per logo.
100 per logo.
So that means you get 200. 100 a Good Morning Gloucester. Oh, you can do half and half? Is that what you want to do?
No, you can't change the logo, he said.
No, you can. When you change the logo, you have to start again.
It's
100.
It's 100
per logo.
100 per logo.
So I'm saying get 200.
But you can change the colors of the koozie.
But if you get 200, can you put both logos on the same koozie?
Oh,
yeah.
That's the move.
Right.
That's the move.
That's a good
if you
idea.
That's the move. The move is to get the lower thing,
right.
but the same.
The same.
Oh, you have the Good Morning Gloucester.
Don't you pay attention when I speak?
Can you get two logos on the same?
Yeah, because
that's
one print.
Koozie,
that's
yeah.
one
yeah.
one one color.
Yes.
In Northeast Barbecue.
Northeast Barbecue on one side, Good Morning Gloucester on the other side.
They shouldn't come together.
I love that idea.
Okay, you could pay for the other ones. How's that sound?
How about
money back?
Chris McCarthy Lobster Company.
Yes.
On the.
How about your face, my face, in Good Morning Gloucester, right in the middle? We'll pay for those.
I just got a really cool purse. And on
that's
one
a good
side
idea,
it says
Chris.
Siesta.
Like, good morning.
On the other side says Siesta.
Oh,
that's cool.
It's Frances Valentine, who is.
Let's talk about
Kate,
like the burger
Kate
off.
Kate Spade before she passed away.
No, we're talking about that because we're just over an hour right now.
Okay.
Kim, did you have another?
In closing.
She got notes right here.
Oh, Cape Ann. We should just mention that Once Upon a Contest from Cape Ann Reads is now open at the Sawyer Freed Library, and the exhibit's beautiful. It's Catherine Ryan was the director of the program, and the they have like a little reading nook for kids, and it just looks beautiful. The exhibit looks beautiful.
So, what age kids would you recommend parents take their kids?
Up until like 10 or 12 years old. Up until like 12 years old.
Yes, up to 12 years old.
Yeah,
check
yeah.
out Cape Ann Reads at Sawyer Free Library.
At Sawyer Free Library.
Okay.
Once
there
upon
we go.
Contest.
Okay, you gotta cue up the exit music.
Hang on, Charlene's on.
Oh, Charlene! Hey, Charlene! Charlene Ellis McCarthy, official Cape Ann home realtor. Tell me about the real estate market right now. Give me a little update.
You got 30 seconds to sell us on the real estate market. Ready, set, go.
Oh my God! Seriously?
Well,
you're putting me on the spot.
She just called.
Well, do you have any
interest rates are going down. Great time to buy.
Yeah.
Stanwood Point.
Stanwood.
Third phase going up.
Tell me about the new. You.
Oh, I'm sorry, we're losing you. We have to let you go. Thank you.
That was great. God bless her. All right, Chris, you don't have the music.
Hold it. Hang on.
I gotta say.
That was. She might see that live.
Right, hang on, Joe.
Forget this is live.
Call McCollum.
Oh, I got. Who?
Call McCollum.
Hang on. All here right. it is.
It's just a picture show. There we go. There it goes. All right, goodbye, everybody. Gloucester.
Bye, Gloucester.
51 in the books.
Oh, I shouldn't do that. Brendan, we're driving by the dock, and he's like, how is that place still standing?
We're still recording, so.
Stop pounding your feet. We're going to end up in the basement.
Yeah.